Hey!
Oh my gosh, she looks so professional.
But actually,
also in a onesie. Are you in a onesie right now?
It's pajama day. I have clothes on underneath, but I don't know how you feel about that.
Wait, can I go put on a onesie so we can both be in onesies?
That'd be awesome.
Because I wasn't planning on doing the video as well, but if we're both in onesies, I think it would be amazing.
Oh, okay.
Hey, everybody. Caitlin here with Class Dojo. And if you're joining us from a non-video format, what you're missing here is I actually run off real quick to change into a onesie in solidarity with Jennifer Ellison, our guest today, a teacher from California. If this is the start of your day, go make yourself a cup of coffee and then join us for a quick chat. If this is the end of the day for you, that same coffee you made this morning that is now cold, it's time to admit defeat, toss it, and maybe make yourself a new cup in case you have some grading to do after this. But take some time for you. The next 30 minutes is for you. Yes, that totally foreign thing that you never do, taking time for yourself. Plus, I'm pretty sure you could totally write this off as a PD credit. Hey, everybody, this is Caitlin from Class Dojo, and you're joining the Class Dojo podcast. Today, my guest is Jennifer Ellison. I'll let you do your own intro.
Okay. Well, I'm Jen Ellison. This is Mojo. He's here with me. I should mention that it's Spirit Week, so I am, in fact, in a onesie. So that's
And that I decided happened. To go put one on in solidarity, because if
Which
you're in
I
a onesie,
greatly.
I should be in a onesie. So
yeah. Yeah, y'all know how it is. Week before vacation, it's Spirit Week. People are in their pajamas, and I'm supposed to teach them how to decode. But whatever.
and you were observed today, right?
And yes, I was observed by a bunch of people who gave us a grant. They wanted to see what kind of learning was going on, and I was carrying around a stuffy in my onesie. So it was great. It's amazing. Everything you dream of. I'm Jen Ellison. I'm currently teaching K-5 technology at our school. We call it the Technology Design Lab. And this is, I think, my 22nd year of teaching. And I have actually taught everything from kindergarten to 12th grade. So I spent 7 years teaching high school English, freshman English, and then a bunch of years teaching elementary school, a few years teaching middle school math, which is hilarious. But I did all of that. Yeah.
So this is the question that you probably won't even be able to answer. What was your favorite thing to teach?
Okay. So I genuinely enjoy everything I'm doing while I'm doing it.
Yes.
My freshman English classes were really close to me because I taught at a small school. So many of them I taught in second grade, seventh grade, and ninth grade. And they're all in their 20s and 30s now. And we're friends. And they're amazing people. So they were just a great group of kids.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's like
lifelong
looping, but like the best kind of looping. Looping on looping on looping.
Makes the first day easy because I'm like, no, don't start. I know you. So. I've done this before.
They're like, I've changed. I promise. You're like, no. I know you.
Yeah.
Well, cool. So this is the Class Dojo podcast where we share ideas, thoughts, and apparently onesies. And things that teachers want to talk about. So, I mean, besides pajama day, there's, you know, things that we like to talk about. Today we wanted to, we're kind of going over, not going over, we're discussing Class Dojo and how it is this positive community building thing. And how we're hoping that others see it that way and how we can encourage others to be positive.
Yeah. Well, I started using it because when I first took this job, I had 12 classes and I was like, how am I going to manage behavior for 12 different classes? They come on different days. I'm not going to have, but first of all, I've never been a clipboard person because I was always the kid who had to clip down and I was always super humiliated.
Yeah. I would have cried. I remember crying.
I did cry. Yeah. I cried a lot.
Ours was the one that I remember. It was a book you had to write your name in. Yeah.
Probably in ink too, right? Not even in pencil where you could erase it.
Well, actually it was in pencil. And
that's good.
I vividly remember because the boy who got me in trouble went and erased my name and wrote his name.
Oh, are you married now? Because that'd be a really sweet story.
No way.
Just say yes. No.
Yes, that is my husband and we're married now.
For the purposes of the story. It all started when he erased. I actually stumbled upon Class Dojo, and I think it might have been the first year or just right after Class Dojo had come out. And it was perfect because I could keep track of all of my classes on my phone. Because I was actually in a temporary room. This is hilarious. So the first room I taught at the school, they give it to nude people to see if they're going to quit, I think, personally.
The ultimate test.
So it was half a classroom, and I had temporary walls in the middle of the room that didn't go to the ceiling.
Oh, no.
And so there was all kinds of stuff happening on the other side of the wall, and I was trying to, like, teach in this other space. But now I have a beautiful lab, which is behind me. I have really beautiful furniture and everything. So it worked out. But I think what I loved about it was being a new teacher. It helped me actually learn their names, because I would see their names in front of me on the phone, which I don't think people, it's not an aspect of Class Dojo that's like in their commercials or whatever. But and so I was seeing their names. I'd review their names before they came in each day, because when you teach the whole school, that's really challenging.
Yeah.
And then I was able to just keep track of all the kids who are doing awesome, because I really have a heart for the kids who are sort of in that middle zone that sort of get overlooked because they're quiet, they don't cause any problems, but they also don't usually ask questions. They're just kind of there, and sometimes they get skipped over. And then I also like the kids who, because of the class I teach, which is technology, a lot of kids who get in trouble in other classes really thrive in my room because they like being on the computer.
Yeah.
And so it's a great opportunity for them to shine. In fact, right now my whole class is gamified. And the kids at the top level in my classroom are kids who have may or may not have spent time in the office from time to time. But in my class, they're thriving because it's just a different environment. So I really like that about it. So that's been really positive. And I guess my other favorite thing is the way that it's so customizable, so that we can tie it into our community meetings, which all our classes at our school have. It's called, they do Getting Along Together. And so each week, the cool kid goes over the goals from the week before, and the class discuss whether they've met them or not. And then they pick a goal to work on for the next week.
Wait, to clarify, is the cool kid like the cool kid, or is that like a phrase for a child in the classroom who's been chosen?
It's student of the week. That's what we call our student of the week. Yeah. So when you're student of the week, you're also in charge of the meetings.
Okay.
So yeah. And so it's really easy to, whatever the class is working on, you can go ahead and add that as a behavior that you can track in Class Dojo.
Awesome.
So that's been really wonderful. And then also you can even discuss, like, how many points do you think it should be worth? Is it a hard skill for us? So if we do it, is it worth a lot of points? Or have we gotten better at it? So we downgrade how many points it's worth. So it's a really great way to empower your students to build a community themselves and not rely on the adults to do it.
Absolutely. That community part of it is so important. And I think sometimes when people are first introduced to Class Dojo, it's such a focus on, like, points to manage things. And that's great. But you can take it, like, there's so many different ways to take it to the next level to create this community, and not just you forcing students into a community. It's students who really want to lift each other up and be actively engaged in it and get to choose, like, what are, you know, our positive, you know, point, like, what are going to be our positive feedback points, and what do we want to work on?
Right.
That's really cool.
And sometimes what they want to work on isn't necessarily what I want them to work on, but they're much more invested if they're the ones who are saying, no, I'd also like you to give points if we do this.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, I've told the Class Dojo people the story of my student who was a selective mute who spoke in class. And when she did, one of the boys at her table was like, you have to give her points for that. She did something that's hard for her, so you have to give her points for that. And so as a class, they decided to create that category of brave, which is anytime anybody would step out of their comfort zone. So it's a really beautiful story. And then I think it was the week after, we were listening to Dr. King's speech. Mm-hmm. And while we were listening to it, they could doodle. And she drew a picture of a person standing in front of a bank of microphones, probably like 15 microphones. And there was a bunch of people out in the audience listening. And after it was over, I said, oh, did you draw Dr. King? And she told me out loud in her own voice, that's me. So she just felt she grew in her ability to be empowered because people recognized her. And I think that's like an aspect of Class Dojo. When you really customize what the points are for, you can recognize kids for like who they truly are. And so, I mean, it was just amazing.
Yeah.
I was taking her picture to every adult on campus. Look what she did. She wants to speak.
Yeah.
You know, and her classmates recognize that.
That's beautiful that her class, I love when students are the ones who recognize something. And I've had that too with my fourth graders. I remember, you know, we were having our class meeting, and usually our class meetings circle back to the idea of like, what do we want to work on this week? Like,
right.
What do we think our positives and whatever should be? And a student had been pulled from my class for some issue on the playground. And another student said, well, I know that blah, blah, blah is having like a really hard week. And I know he just got in trouble. So I would like us to add this positive point and really try to give him a lot of them this week. And like, that's something I would, as a teacher would have done. But to hear, like, to have this child stand up in the class meeting and share, like, I feel this way and I want to support my classmate. I'm in there, like, holding back tears. Like,
right.
You my boy.
Right. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's such a powerful thing. And especially, like, the community I teach, we have a lot of people who are homeless, a lot of students in foster care. They are completely powerless outside of school.
Yeah.
And so to empower them in any way, give them autonomy in any way is amazing. You know, it's just a really wonderful thing because they're so helpless elsewhere. They can't control, you know, who their mom brings home. They can't control whether or not they have food or even a place to stay. But in my classroom, they get to make decisions and they can be in charge, and they need that experience, and they need to experience it in such a way that they can learn and play with empathy so that when they go out into the world, they are empathetic people. You know, we have to give them the opportunity to practice it. And so I think Class Dojo is just a really powerful way to do that. So I actually don't really give negative points very often. Occasionally I have this year. I have a pretty challenging reading class at the end of the day, and simply not giving them points wasn't effective. So I actually had to take away points, and it was a big, huge deal. But in general, I try not to, because I feel like if I can build on the positive, then that's what they'll focus on. If I focus on the negative, then they're going to focus on the negative.
Yeah.
I have, I think, about 50% of my class connected this year, which is really good.
Yeah.
We're always working on more, but because, you know, of a lot of our families' living situations, they don't always have access to the internet. So, but, like just yesterday, I posted the homework, that the reading that they can do over winter break. I posted a picture of it. This is coming home, expect it. And immediately I had two parents click on it, click on the translation. And so they already know. And it was great, because then I could show my reading class. Not only do they know you have winter break homework, but also they've already messaged me back. So don't tell me you didn't know about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so nice. You can see how many parents viewed it, or who viewed it even. Mm-hmm. And when it's that one kid, you're like, no excuses.
Here, Freddie. Mom already said you have it. So
yeah.
So like, you know, and I've been with Class Dojo for a long time, and I've just seen the way that it's grown, and it's become more and more ways to support not only the community of your classroom, but the community as a whole. Mm-hmm. I mean, when we had the fires in our area, or the earthquake in our area, Class Dojo was a really quick way to reach out to families. I know that I posted for the school. We had local doctors in town who were providing access to like asthma medication for families during the fires, so that they wouldn't have to like schedule an appointment, because that was a real issue.
Oh yeah.
I was able to post all kinds of community.
It gets you.
Yeah. So I posted community information on the school page in Class Dojo, and a lot of parents were able to look at it and hopefully get what they needed. And I know that I've read stories of other teachers who are in like lockdown situations, or in situations where they need to communicate, and they're able to do so quickly because Class Dojo's right there on their phone and ready to go.
Yeah. We've had a couple emails, and I won't repeat because it was much more of like a, you know, thank you. But we received emails from teachers who have been in a wide range of situations where, you know, it could be like total panic for the parents. They could be rushing the school, or, you know, but the teacher writes us and says, you know, I was immediately able to tell the parents what was happening, where we were, that we were okay. And that made the world of a difference. So
that's huge.
That alone is like, we're, you know, we get one of those, and it kind of gets shared at the office to be like, hey guys, this is what you're a part of. And people are just like crying, like hearts are full. Like that's really what we want to do, is create this. We want to help people create communities, because we're so much stronger as a whole. Like, we just had, comparing this to my own life now, sorry world, but we just had that seven. So I'm in Alaska, Anchorage, Alaska, and there was just a magnitude 7 earthquake, which was terrifying. You know, roads disappeared. They just crumbled. And, you know, there was so much damage and so much going on. And, you know, what we really found strength in was the strength of community and people coming together and helping each other out. There's a now famous picture of a red Jeep or something trying to get to the airport. And it's right in the middle of the cracks and they're kind of stuck. That guy was trying to get to the airport. He actually made his flight. Like, he got there on time because someone else helped him out. And that's just crazy. Right. That's just one story out of so many.
Right.
And I know that one of my first instincts afterwards was, since I'm no longer in a classroom, I was like, how can I help? I want to reach out to classroom, be a part of it. But the teachers were like, yeah, we might need help cleaning up. And then they shared, like, it's been cleaned up. It's done. Like, everyone came together and helped each other out. So having that community and help, like, our whole goal is to create these communities is really so that people are stronger, more supported, connected in an age where technology can be something that divides us. It can hopefully be something that actually connects us.
Yeah. And I think too, you know, when just being able to quickly communicate is everything, because it does bond communities together and it lets people know. And especially, you know, trying to focus on that spirit of Class Dojo and remember, you know, because this time of year you can get bogged down into the fact that the kids have had 4 cupcakes and they're circling your classroom and they're crazy. And it's really easy to fall into and lose track of, like, what we're really doing. And so just focusing on the fact that, you know, every human actually is hungry for recognition and praise. And it's a really quick and easy way to do it. Mm-hmm. I keep on my board in the front of the room, today's number is 77. Mm-hmm. It's the 77th day of school. And I keep it there because I only have them for like 180 days. Mm-hmm. And so I remind myself, you know, they've been here 77 days. What have I taught them? And not just like academically, but what have I taught them about being a human and being part of, you know, the people around them?
Yeah.
So, you know, because we have such a limited time mm-hmm. with our students. And if we really want to make an impact, if we really want to prepare them for the future, then we have to constantly be focused on our goals and what we want to achieve. And Class Dojo is like a really good way to like hone it in and focus on it, not just me, but as a community. Mm-hmm. You know, they know it's the 77th day of school.
Yeah.
Because in front of all of us. And, you know, what have I taught them? What have they learned?
Yeah.
So
that's such a beautiful way to think about it. Like, especially when, like, classes like this, and, you know, you've been a classroom teacher where you're with them every single day.
Right.
I guess my brain has never thought about that, like how, like, our music teacher, art teacher, whoever it is, doesn't see them as often.
Right.
But to say, like, you've been in school this long and this is what we want to achieve and this is what we're working towards.
Right.
Such a beautiful way to think about using Class Dojo to share that.
Right. Yeah. Well, and if you think about it too, what people forget about specialists is I teach the whole school every year. So the summer is really just a long weekend to me. I don't have to like spend a lot of time on routines except for new students, newcomers, mm-hmm. Because they had me last year and they'll have me next year. And so although I only see them once a week, I'm pretty constant in their life year yeah. after year after year, regardless of what classroom teacher they have. So it's a really interesting perspective. And it reminds me of, you know, the years that I taught the same class in second and then seventh and then ninth. There's a different kind of bond that happens because, you know, this room, I know this, mm-hmm. I know what happens in this room. I know the kinds of things that we do. And they've also seen the projects that the older kids are doing and they're like just dying to do those. So
yeah,
it kind of builds that, but it's an interesting experience because I was, you know, for, I don't know, 18 years, a standard classroom teacher, whatever you want to call it, but this is fun. Yeah. I really like doing this.
Yeah, it's really cool. I think that, you know, if I could go back to teaching, I would love to have a year of just getting to interact with everybody. Because yeah. I love being on the playground, wherever you can interact with mm-hmm. the other kids is so much yeah. fun. That you just, you know, you crave to like see the kinders for a day and then see the sixth graders. You know, I wanted to know every single kid.
Right. And you get to know siblings too. But, you know, if you teach year after year, I have this problem where I'll call students by the wrong name and it's nothing like their actual name, but it's because they remind me of the character or personality of a student I've had. So I'll be talking to Maribel and I'll be like, Ashley, just, you know, like her name's nothing like Ashley, but she reminds me of Ashley, who's probably 24 now. And then later you find out Ashley is her mom. No, just kidding. Sometimes.
You're it's like, old I've been age. Around long enough.
Yeah. Yeah. So no. And, you know, and Class Dojo is just a really great way to communicate with students and with families and for kids to see, you know, what they're doing. And then this year, the one thing that I did that was new was that through the class story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, the kids' portfolios. That's what it is. Through the kids' portfolios, my reading class has been doing their fluency. So they recorded themselves reading to the screen in September, and then we did it in November, and then we'll do it again in January. So they can see their reading growth over time. They can hear it.
Yes.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, not just the parent, but the student can see their own growth. That's such a good point. That is such a good point. Because we always say, like, you can see it and the parent can see it. The kid can see it.
The kid, the kids can watch their own reading growth. And I didn't intentionally start out this way, but when we went to do it the second time, they're like, should we read the same thing? And I was like, yes, you should read the same thing so we can really see your progress over time. And my class, they're struggling readers. And mm-hmm. the other day I was listening to them as we were reading together and I was like, you guys are amazing. You have your ability to read. Has actually happened because, you know, when we first did, they honestly
struggle.
They're working on decoding, but now they're actually, you know, reading with some fluency. So I'm interested to see what it's going to look like in June.
Oh, that's so exciting. I love that idea. So did you assign that as an activity, like push it out?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I was just talking to someone today about like, how do we like tell teachers not just like do this activity, but like this fits into your routine? Like you could use this in a center. You could use it for math. Like there's so many different ways it fits into what you're doing.
Yeah, and a third grade teacher at our school, the way that the kids in her class showed her that they understood a new math technique was that they explained it in their portfolio, like they were teaching their parents.
Yeah.
And she just, if you stop by her classroom and you hesitate for a second, she will make you watch four or five of the videos because the kids really got it. And she's just so stoked and she's so jazzed about it. And so... So they can, you know, explain to their parents, this is how we solve these problems.
Yeah.
And if you can teach it to somebody, then you definitely can do it.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's been really good. But yeah, I really like the portfolio. And the students do too. I have fourth and fifth graders. So at first they were like, I don't want my face to be on camera. And then, you know, I turn around and they're like,
yeah, taking selfies.
Right.
Throwing up.
So it didn't last long. But also, you know, real teacher talk. Mm-hmm. To listen to 26 kids do fluency. See, so that you can score them. It gets a little repetitive and also it's super time consuming, but they can record it and then I can watch it and I can give them the fluency grade while I have a cup of coffee and my feet are up and my daughter's watching Glee. I don't have to, you know, I can do it later.
Yeah.
Well, and so it doesn't
we had to take an entire sub day to pull our own students. So I had to write sub plans. And then I would still go to my school, which is super distracting for my actual students.
Right.
And pull students out of class. So I can't really have the sub teach anything too important because I know the kids are going to miss parts of it. And then I have to be super focused for the entire day. It's exhausting. But I'm supposed to get the best, you know, accuracy and, you know, I'm supposed to be listening and just that was probably the most exhausting part of my job was when I had to pull kids to listen to them read. And it's supposed to be like a moment that you should enjoy. On top of like getting information, it should be this moment to like really like, you know, take pride in their growth and to be able to give them that praise and, you know, show them how they've grown. So I love the idea of being able to do that with portfolios.
Yeah. And it's great. And also, you know, they have the record for not just this year, but, you know, they can continue on as long as they're with us and they can find out about it. I actually didn't think of the fluency thing myself. It was one of my fourth grade teachers who had never used Class Dojo until this year. And she's like, I had them do their fluency. And I'm like, that's genius. And I'm hoping it continues to spread because it does. I mean, I only have 180 days with them. I don't want to waste one of them, you know, trying to slog through a bunch of reading, especially with kids who so struggle. It takes a really long time to do it.
Yeah.
So,
and then just them sitting with you in like alone in a room and them having, it's so much pressure. Instead, like, go find your nice little reading corner.
Right.
Pull out, you know. Use the iPad and just read.
Yeah.
So much more relaxing, but such a better like snapshot of what they can actually do.
Right. And, you know, and my classroom, they're like laying all over the floor. Yeah. They're like, you know, I'm like, don't go under things because it just makes me nervous because I can't see you. But find your cozy spot, which is the same way when we take tests.
Yeah.
They can sit where they feel comfortable. So awesome. Yeah, it's definitely a lot more of a positive experience. And then the parents messaging them back is adorable. They're like, I'm so proud of you. You know, and like my fifth graders are like, I'm a tough guy. And then they're like, their mom's like, baby, you did such a good job. Like, you may have lost some street cred there. You know? Mom's right. So, and they're so proud. I mean, yeah. Even my toughest kids who on the outside look really tough, they're so proud when their parents like it or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So, or yeah, even their friends.
I can think back to being a child and when your parent, you know, tells you a good job on something, how much that means.
Right.
But it was all paper. So I have to do a good job. I have to somehow make it home, which seems like a journey in itself to get an actual paper into a backpack, out of the backpack and into a parent's hand.
Right.
And then for them to read it and to recognize, you know, it's so awesome.
Yeah.
And not saying my parents are not bad parents. They're awesome parents and they did a great job and all that stuff. I'm not saying it that way. I'm just saying that it's different.
Right. Yeah. Well, and you know, my kids shove a bazillion papers in front of my face. Yeah. There's no guarantee that I'm going to be particularly focused on any one paper.
Yeah.
But you send me a picture of my kid, I'm going to pay attention.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because like my kids are adorable.
Yeah, your kids are adorable. That's true.
Like Mojo, my first son.
Oh, I like that he's included in the family. He absolutely is.
Yeah, he's part of the family. He's been through a lot.
And he looks a little crinkly.
When my kinders would come in my room, I don't have them this year, but last year they were doing this reading program, and if they got a badge in the reading program, they got to hold him.
Oh,
and it was like so a huge deal. And then when the next kid would get a badge, they would have to pass him off. And not once in the entire year did I have kids fight. It's the craziest thing. They shared him beautifully.
Oh, that's such a cute idea.
And then I got more plushies after a while. So there was this cat that we had.
Yeah.
He was Mojo's kitty. And then I think it was a bear or something. It might have been a Beanie Baby. And the bear was like Mojo's bestie.
Oh, that's adorable.
So then we had three things that kids could hold. And then they got to choose which one they would hold. Mm. And the kid who had Mojo would be like,
hiding.
I don't have him. But I never had a kid cry. And these are little tiny humans.
Yeah.
Cry or fight over Mojo because they respected him.
Oh.
They didn't want to hurt his feelings.
My heart.
I know. It's a bit much for today, right?
Yeah, I just want to go find a classroom and like read to them and teach them things. You've inspired me. Okay, so you've inspired me, then anyone who's listening to our podcast will be super inspired.
Mostly by my ensemble.
We'll give it up for the onesies. I feel like that was the biggest contributing factor. but if someone listening right now, you know, we've had this half hour of chatting about things, and if they had to take one thing away from our conversation, what would you hope that they would walk away with?
I would hope that they'd walk away with the idea that is the core of all teaching, which is the core of Class Dojo, is that we need to inspire and encourage as much as possible, which doesn't mean I don't hold my students accountable. I do, but I need to really recognize the effort that they put in, the hard work that they do. I mean, for some of my kids, it's a lot for them to sit semi-still.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they got up and they fed themselves. They fed their brothers and sisters. They walked everybody to school. And they're like in the third grade.
Yeah.
And they've done all of that. And so I just need to be mindful that they're people. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if you're in because I taught in a private school. If you're in a school full of really wealthy kids, or if you're in a school with kids who face a lot of challenges, they're people and they need our support.
Yeah.
And everything we do should be supporting them.
Yes.
And as much as we can to recognize them and to know them and to recognize them for who they are. Because when you're known and understood, then you're really willing to learn and cooperate. Because I used to tell my high schoolers that, especially when I taught math, that I was never going to yell at them because I had a math teacher yell at me. And if you get yelled at, you close up and nothing can get in. So they have to trust me so that they can open up and receive information.
Yeah.
And if they don't trust me, they can't do that. And so you have to build that relationship. And Class Dojo was intended for that, to build relationships, to build community so that real learning can take place.
Absolutely.
That, and if you know a teacher, you should buy them coffee this week because it's pretty tough right now.
Some coffee, chocolates.
Yes.
Massage, whatever.
Amen.
Take care of your teachers.
don't offer to do the massage. That's just weird.
No, don't offer.
If you're a masseuse, that's just not. No, it's not cool. No.
Nobody's down for that.
Nobody's down for that.
Well, I think that is literally the most positive and inspiring note to end on. So I'm going to thank you, everybody, for listening. We hope to continue to have awesome conversations like this. Maybe not in onesies, but we'll survive.
New tradition.
Yeah, everyone has to wear a onesie to the podcast. So we thank you for joining us today, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.